Coming up on Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. A dink and dunk, grinded out offense is unveiled by the Texans in their first divisional game of the season against Jacksonville.
Offset eye formation, Tate gets the carry, straight ahead across the five, taking people with him to the goal line, touchdown Houston!
The defense was barely on the field against the Jags, but they made their presence felt. In particular, rising star J.J. Watt, who also took home AFC Defensive Player of the Week honors, found some time to visit a local middle school with his teammate Antonio Smith. We'll put the Jags game to rest and look ahead to a trip to the Mile High City coming up right now on Texans Huddle.
This is Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. HCC is the official education partner of the Houston Texans. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome inside Reliance Stadium for this week's edition of Texans Huddle. I'm Patty Smith, and we've got a great 30 minutes in store for you. As always, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, will stop by, as will the AFC Defensive Player of the Week, J.J. Watt. Bart Ennis will catch up with offensive line coach John Benton in this week's Coach's Corner. But first up, here is Bart with a look back at the big win against the Jags in our Texans Rewind.
The Texans took the field with a simple goal in mind: move the chains and stay patient. And thanks to a two-headed running attack of Arian Foster and Ben Tate, that's exactly what they did.
Job, hands off to Foster, a little cut back to the right, and he walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. Schaub takes the snap. Here's the handoff to Tate, running left, gets in. Touchdown, Houston.
Between Matt Schaub's dink and dunk passing attack and the Tate-Foster combination, the Texans managed to hold the ball for more than 43 minutes, wearing down the Jacksonville defense.
They're a tough group. Their defensive front is stout, and they play a lot of safe coverages behind, try to prevent big plays. And so we just had to grind it out, had to take what they gave us and hit some underneath routes and put drives together and put positive plays back-to-back. And we're able to do that for the most part today.
Despite only being on the field for a total of 38 plays, the defense made their presence felt.
Texans showing blitz, and Gabbert gets the snap. He's in big trouble in the backfield, and he's sacked. Brooks Reed gets his first of the year. Here's Gabbert handing off to Jones-Drew, and he's met in the backfield. J.J. Watt gets there first, a TFL from Megawatt.
The Texans set a team record allowing a mere 117 yards of total offense. Of the Jaguars' 12 possessions, 7 were 3 and out, and only 1 lasted more than 4 plays, keeping the Texans' defense on the bench and fresh.
They have really, really nice benches here. They had shade and they had cooling, so it was awesome that our offense held the ball for so long, because we were relaxing over there. It was awesome. It's so much fun to sit back. It's nice when you get off the field on third down and your offense is so good that they can have an 18-play drive. And you're sitting over there just watching and marveling at what they're doing. It's so much fun. That's a well-balanced team. That's a team that can win many different ways. And if the offense is struggling one day, the defense is going to pick them up. If the defense is struggling, the offense will pick us up. We've got Trinan on special teams who can make plays. So it's so much fun when you can beat a team so many different ways.
Foster and Tate would combine for 3 touchdowns, 10 catches, and 184 yards on the ground en route to the Texans' second 20-point victory to start the season. Arian Foster would become the team's all-time leading rusher with 110 yards on the day, but he was humble about his accomplishment after the game.
It's a good accomplishment, nice individual accolade, but you know that's not why you play the game. And it's a tribute to a lot of hard work by a lot of people, offensive line coaches, receivers, tight ends. You know, it's just a cumulative effort.
I see him get out there and break a run, you know, I'm like, oh, man, I'm chomping at the bit. Like, I can outdo that, you know. And then I get out there and break one, and he's like, oh, man, I can outdo that, you know. So it's a good, friendly competition, but, you know, it also helps this team go. So I think it's very important for both of us.
Now with 2 wins in 2 games under their belt, it's time to look ahead to the Mile High City.
Somebody told me that we are 1-9 for third games of the season. And I think that's more important than it just being Peyton or not beating Peyton at home, is that we got to break, you know, that cycle. Because I started to remember the games. Every game we would have, we'd start off good, and then that third preseason game, you know, we would lose. So I think I'm going to work hard to try to break that other than just worrying about Adrian Payton's house. I don't think that's really his house yet. Everybody still see him as a coach to me. That's what he's going to retire as.
All right, and joining me now, Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Houston Texans. And before we talk about that Game 3, let's go back and talk a little bit about Game 2.
Yes. Just
an incredible defensive performance.
Amazing, Patty. You know, they were on the field for 38 plays, and guys were joking around afterwards, where are my tackle stats? Where are my sack stats? Well, they were only on the field for 38 plays. There weren't enough plays to get guys those kind of stats, especially since J.J. Watt was so dominant at what he does. You know, they got off the field on third down all the time. And the offense, 83 snaps in the game. The defense really barely had to break a sweat in this one. Of course, I'm joking, but you get the idea.
Yeah, J.J. Watt, of course, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And we'll talk to him a little bit later on in the show. But let's go back to that offense. What's the muddle huddle, the sugar huddle? What's the deal with the no huddle?
Well, I lobbied to have it called the Vander huddle, but I was shot down. So we're going to stick with maybe sugar huddle. I like that better than muddle huddle, which is what Rick Dennison calls it. In any case, very brief huddle. Get up to the line of scrimmage. Keep things moving quickly. Short passes. Run the football. You know, they stretched out Jacksonville's defense early in the game, throwing those passes. And then the running lanes were there. They ran for over 200 yards. I don't know if they're going to do this every week, but it's something they can jump into on occasion. It's a way to play a controlled kind of offense that holds the football, moves the ball down the field, matriculates it down the field, and keeps the other team's offense off the field. That'd be nice against Denver, but I think they're going to throw in some other things. I think Gary Kubiak has held some stuff back, and he'll unleash the fury this weekend.
Matriculate.
Big yes.
word from
Hank
my little
Stram.
Friend. Nice. The running game, vastly improved from game one to game two.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at Arian Foster and Ben Tate, you know, they had those lanes, and Foster averaging 3.9 per carry. I mean, not a ton of yards per carry, but certainly a good performance for him. Ben Tate, a pulverizing, tenderizing kind of runner. You got to like the way he's handling things right now. Justin Forsett even got in the game late and looked good with those fresh legs. So to know that you have three guys who can carry the mail, that's a good thing.
Okay, Jacksonville didn't look great by any stretch, but it's going to be a whole different ball game, no pun intended here, facing Peyton Manning in the
Denver Broncos. Absolutely, Patty. You know, you look at what they did Monday night, and they lost badly to Atlanta. I know it turned into a one-score game, but they kind of backdoored it into a one-score game. Peyton Manning throws three interceptions in the first quarter. I got a feeling he's going to play a whole lot better at home, but this Texans defense is something that he's never seen before. At Reliant Stadium, I would say this game, I would feel so good about them getting a victory on the road. Obviously, it's going to be a lot tougher. They're going to have to rise above. The offense is going to have to deal with the Denver noise. Very tough place to play. It's not just the altitude. They talk about that. That might be psychological more than anything, but that crowd really revs it up, and they're fired up about this season, so get ready for a real slobber knocker.
You're just pulling the words out.
Yeah,
this one.
I think so.
Are your prediction they're going to get that third one?
I think they will, but it'll be very close. How about that? I don't want to go out on the limb just yet.
It would also be Gary Kubiak's 50th win, another milestone.
Yes, it would be nice and put him over 500 in his career.
There we go. All right, good stuff. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, Pat.
Still to come on Texans Huddle, Antonio Smith and J.J. Watt go toe-to-toe with each other for some middle school kids. We'll tell you the outcome as well as a visit with J.J. about his phenomenal start to the season.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. You know, one of the areas of this team that received a lot of attention in the offseason and during training camp was the offensive line, since they're replacing two starters on the right side. And joining us now on Coach's Corner is John Benton, the offensive line coach. Talk a little bit, first of all, about that right side, how those new guys are progressing.
Well, it's still a work in progress, but pleased with that progress, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. Had maybe a little bit of a rough go in the opener. Mm-hmm. Thought we'd do a little better, but made a lot of strides in the second game. So guardedly optimistic.
When you look at the stats from the Jacksonville game, you know, all the rushing yards, no sacks, it looks like a huge leap forward for the line in total. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it is. I think we crossed the threshold there, you know, going from, you know, the line you're always looking to cross as a coach, from going and not screwing it up to winning your battles, and I thought we did that a little bit. At the same time, you know, looking at that film, there was still a lot of room for improvement, particularly in the consistency area. And that's, I guess, to be expected in some ways with two new players, but also something we have to push the envelope in correctly.
All right, next team on the schedule is the Denver Broncos, and they're a team that employs those speed rushers. You got Doomerville and Miller out there. Talk about the problems they present.
Yeah, it's, we were just saying today in the scouting report, just the opposite of what Jacksonville is. You know, Jacksonville is the big, heavy guys are going to try and knock you in the backfield, and these guys are run around, jump around guys. So, and that is the deal. We've got to find a way to get our blocks and sustain in the run game, and they track a lot of balls down and escape very well, and then of course the pass rush, that becomes the key deal. They've got top level pass rushers, and the good news for us is we go against some top level pass rushers every day, and so I think we'll be in good shape for those guys.
Offensive line coach John Benton with us on Coach's Corner. Thank you for your time, coach. Good luck this week.
Thank you very much,
Patty. Back to you.
All right, thank you, Bart. Time for another break here on Texans Huddle presented by HCC. But don't go away. When we come back, some local kids got a visit from the Texans this week. Plus, J.J. Watt stops by when Texans Huddle continues.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network. By the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute, bringing elite care to all athletes. And by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off from the Texas Lottery today. Maybe it's your lucky day.
And welcome back. Well, the NFL and the American Heart Association have combined forces to help benefit America's youth. And the Houston Texans cheerleaders, along with Toro and defensive ends J.J. Watt and Antonio Smith, took part in a kickoff event at Hartman Middle School for the NFL Play 60 campaign. It had the feel of a Texan pep rally. In a Family Feud-style competition, more than 700 students cheered on their heroes and classmates who answered questions about health and nutrition.
Oh, yeah, I had a blast. It's good to be out here. I mean, the kids were awesome. They had a lot of fun. So it's good to be a part of this with the NFL and the American Heart Association. It's a good event. It's a lot of fun to promote stuff like Play 60 because obviously we grew up with a lot of activities. So it's fun to get out here and promote to the kids that activity and a healthy lifestyle and maybe put down that video game console every now and then.
The NFL Play 60 program is an initiative by the league that encourages kids to get at least 60 minutes of activity every day. Tuesday's event was a prelude to a month-long contest that will reward the top five Hartman Middle School students who log the most physical activity in 30 days with tickets to a Texans home game. The kids had a great time, as did the players.
Every time it's refreshing. You know, you come up here, you know, it's your day. I'll be feeling tired, but then once you see how excited the kids is just by you showing up at their school, you know, it makes it that much better, you know, makes you feel that much better.
The students are looking up to the Texans and looking up towards something good for them, something that's healthy, something that's going to help them sustain a better lifestyle.
The feud was a close competition, with the Smiths' Battle Red team coming out on top, but it was the message that was the most important part.
It was awesome. JJ's mad because I beat him. Yes. So I'm loving that all the way, you know. And it's always fun to come out here and, you know, help out with the NFL and the American Heart Association with the Play 60 thing. I think it's a good thing for the schools.
And joining me now, as promised, J.J. Watt, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Congratulations. Nice honor for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's not just me, though. It's a team honor. So I have to thank my teammates and coaches.
That is such a politically correct thing to say. All right, let's. We just came out of the story yesterday. Antonio said you were mad. Were you really mad?
I was furious. I don't like losing it. So even when I lose a little game like that, it makes me mad.
But I know that those going out to those events are so much fun. You could just see the kids going crazy to see you guys, and it's got to be a pretty good feeling to make that kind of impact on those kids.
It was a blast. It's so much fun to get out in the community and meet the kids and to see how excited they are just about having the Houston Texans out there. And it's almost like breeding a new generation of fans, and it's really exciting to see that, and it's good that we're sending a great message about staying healthy and staying active.
Did you ever have anybody come to your school when you were a kid that made an impact on you?
We never had any NFL players, but I know that would have been awesome as a kid, so it's really cool to think about what those kids are thinking about, and knowing that I'm that NFL player, it still doesn't really register with me. It's crazy.
Well, let's talk about, you know, as I mentioned, AFC Defensive Player of the Week, based on your first two games, this, specifically the domination that your defense, you said it yourself, you know, it was a team effort. And really, what you guys did in only 38 plays out there on the field, it's got to be pretty incredible for even you to kind of absorb.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was happy with my game just the way it was, and then I heard that we were only on for 16 minutes and 38 plays, so that's incredible. But that's also a credit to our offense. They did a heck of a job. I know that 18-play drive was nice. We were over there hanging out on the sidelines drinking Gatorade, so they did a heck of a job and deserve a lot of credit.
Well, and Coach said, you know, he was a little disappointed that he felt that this team came out a little bit flat in the second half. And that, of course, 18-play drive really kind of helped and turned that around. But is there something to be said for that, for coming out flat like that? Do you guys feel it?
I mean, we could tell. We didn't start out hot necessarily, but they got it turned around right away, and that's the best thing about our team, I think, is we make corrections so quickly. When we have an issue, we go to the sidelines, the coaches coach it up, and we get it corrected very, very fast.
Let's talk specifically about you, which I know you're reluctant to do. You want to make it the whole team effort, but really what you've been doing in just these first two games with, you know, the batted down pass, the fumble recovery, just the sacks already, a credit to the team, but also is something just clicking for you? I mean, clearly no sophomore slump here.
No, that's one thing I really wanted to avoid. I've always thought that a sophomore slump is an excuse for guys who didn't work hard in the offseason. I think that's one thing that I never wanted to have happen to me. I always wanted to show the fans, show myself and my teammates that I work my tail off for them. And I'm really happy with the way I've started it. I was frustrated that I couldn't play in training camp. I had that mentality like I was a caged animal, and they finally let me out of my cage, and I'm still hungry. I'm not satisfied yet, so I'm really excited about what's ahead.
When you got to the point where you didn't want to talk about the injury anymore, you didn't want to, you know, I know it was frustrating for you, but any way, shape, or form that could have been sort of a blessing in disguise somehow?
I think so. I was having a good training camp, obviously got the injury, had to just watch, and watching made me so hungry and frustrated and just anxious to get back out there, and so now I'm letting all that loose, and I'll always have in the back of my head what watching feels like, and I don't want to do that again, and I have so much confidence, and I'm so excited to play every single week that I can't wait to get back out there again on Sunday.
When you get back out there on Sunday, no easy task, of course. Peyton Manning, obviously he's out last year. You haven't faced him. Just your thoughts. You had a chance to probably see him on Monday night. Just what do you think looking at him, and does that help to be able to watch him like that on Monday night game?
Yeah, it definitely does. He's a great quarterback, and you always want a chance to play against the great quarterbacks in the league. So really excited about the challenges he faces and can't wait to get out there and hopefully put a couple hits on him.
All right, we've got a little segment called First and 10 we want to play with you coming up. Will you stick around?
Sounds good.
All right. Still to come, linebackers Brian Cushing and Daryl Sharpton were selected as the Whataburger Players of the Month. We'll take you to their appearance right after this. Well, your votes were tabulated, and this month's winner of the Whataburger Player of the Month was linebacker Daryl Sharpton. Teammate Brian Cushing nominated Sharpton for the honor and joined him for the appearance at the Whataburger in Friendswood. The two signed autographs and visited with fans, all for a good cause.
It is. Just going to Texas YMCA, you know, always just trying to give back and what I can do. So, you know, all this money will be donated towards that.
Cush brought all these people out here in droves. I mean, I heard people were camping out since last night to see him. So, I mean, yeah, I got us back, and we're just here having fun and just trying to show everyone a good time.
And joining me once again, J.J. Watt. They don't have Whataburger in Pewaukee, do they?
No, there's no Whataburger up there.
What do they have comparable? Is there a place you'd like to go?
Yeah, there's a place called Culver's. I think there's one down here up on the north side of Houston.
Yeah, we got one in the Woodlands.
Yeah, but that's kind of like our Whataburger up there.
Good competition. All right, little game of first and 10, okay?
Right.
First down. I know you lettered in multiple sports, football, baseball, basketball, state shot putter. If you could be a professional athlete in any other sport other than football, what would it be?
Hockey, hands down. I love hockey. That's really? My second favorite sport by far.
And did you played hockey?
Yeah, I played hockey till I was 13. Played in Canada a lot, played over in Germany. Had a lot of fun. I love that sport. I just kind of grew out of it.
Of course, I saw you out at Minute Maid taking some BP. I don't know. I'm thinking baseball might not be too far behind.
Yeah, I know. I love the Astros, and I enjoyed that experience out there. So hopefully they can pick it up a little bit next year.
All right, second down. No secret, it's been well publicized. You were a pizza delivery guy back in the day. Give me either your biggest tip, strangest story, some kind of pizza story.
There's a lot of good stories. There was an ice storm. Nobody really knows this story, I guess. But there was an ice storm back in Wisconsin. I was still delivering pizzas, and I got caught in the middle of the ice storm. Drove the truck right into a snowbank. No damage to the truck. But two separate tow trucks got stuck in the ditch on the way over, so that kind of gives you an idea of how bad it was. So I just ended up eating the pizza and the wings that I had to deliver because I was so hungry and nobody came to save me.
Nice. So those people never got their
pizza. Those people never got their food. I called them and apologized, but I had no option.
I wonder if today they know that that was you. All right, third down, number 99. Any significance to the number and why you chose it?
It's actually kind of a good story. In high school, I was a quarterback up until my senior year, and I wanted to be number 8, but when the jerseys came in, they screwed up and only had number 9, so I took number 9. Then when I went to college and ended up switching to defensive line, I just said double it up to make 99. And also a little bit, Wayne Gretzky is one of my favorite hockey players, so it's always good to be on the great ones.
I knew you were going to say Gretzky when you did the whole hockey thing already. I knew you'd come back to that. Mm-hmm. All right, fourth down. You kind of have a couple celebrations after you make a big play. You got the salute, mm-hmm. you got the no-no. Which, where did they come from, and which one? How do you decide what you're going to do?
I do the finger wag after a batted ball, just kind of telling the quarterback, no, that was silly.
Is that a Dikembe thing?
I've heard that now. I didn't originally think of it as a Dikembe thing, but now that I've seen it, it is very similar to his. And then the salute is after a sack, just kind of letting the fans know, hey, I'm here, I'm ready to work. I've been told it's a sign of respect in the military. I'm huge on the military. So it's just kind of, A, a tribute to the military, and B, me letting the fans know I'm here to work, and let's do it again.
All right, well, let's do it again and get to work on Sunday.
Sounds
Thanks
good.
For stopping by.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Wine and dine with the Texans players at the Taste of the Texans, presented by BP on Monday, November 5th. Fans can sample food from 25 of Houston's finest restaurants, with event proceeds benefiting the Houston Food Bank and the Methodist Hospital. Secure your tickets today at HoustonTexans.com. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you missed any part of this show or just want to watch it again, be sure to check it out at HoustonTexans.com. The Texans will be back here at Reliance Stadium next week as they take on the Tennessee Titans. Until then, have a great week, everyone.